This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Five community-based mental health groups on the West Coast have lost their funding from Vancouver Coastal Health in an unexpected decision that the health authority says will allow it to refocus on core health services. The affected organizations include the Art Studios, Access Community Through English Program, British Columbia Schizophrenia Society, Mood Disorders Association of BC, and West Coast Mental Health Network. In a message to the membership of the West Coast Mental Health Network, Executive Director Adrienne Fitch said that Vancouver Coastal Health contract managers assured her that this was strictly a financial and budget decision, with no bearings on the organization's worth as an organization or the quality of its programming. The West Coast Mental Health Network is one of the few mental health groups in the area that fully focus on peer support.
I spoke with Adrienne Fitch, Executive Director of West Coast Mental Health Network, a couple of weeks after she learned of the defunding decision by Vancouver Coastal Health. We're going to share that interview in a moment. We'll also speak with Sandra Ewan McKay, a Vancouver-based artist and author who's been involved in programs offered by the Art Studios, one of the groups defunded by Vancouver Coastal Health. Without that funding, the art studios will have to close their doors by August the 7th, 2013.
Here's the first of our two interviews about these community-based program funding cuts. Adrienne Fitch is Executive Director of West Coast Mental Health Network.
Adrienne, tell me a bit about yourself, your own story, and how you came to be involved in the West Coast Mental Health Network.
Well, I've been the executive director of West Coast Mental Health Network for about 3 years now. I started in 2010, and my background is in journalism and communications and newsletter publishing. In the past, I have struggled with chronic depression since I was a kid, and I've also in the past been hospitalized for severe depression. I've lived in Vancouver now for about 5 years, and I'm a single mother with two teenage daughters. Well, I've been in Vancouver for about 5 years. I learned about the network through a friend of mine, who actually is the editor of our quarterly magazine. So that was the first time I heard about the organization existing. And then through her, I learned that there was an opportunity at the time the position was called coordinator. So that's how I applied. I wasn't involved with the consumer survivor community before that, but I'm definitely a mental health consumer.
You also have a profound hearing loss. Tell us more about how that impacted on your ability to navigate the mental health system.
Well, the hearing loss definitely had a profound effect on my mental health because it's so incredibly isolating. And I think many people with hearing loss do struggle with mental health issues for that reason. Often while growing up, rather than trying to deal with the frustration of being excluded from a conversation or try to get people to accommodate, my hearing loss and repeat for me or rephrase, often I would just go off by myself and read a book. And that's partly why I learn better by reading as opposed to by hearing or doing. I absorb information from reading mostly, so it's better. In the mental health system, the most common situation where my hearing loss has really been a barrier has been group therapy. You know, I'm much better one-on-one than trying to hear within a group.
You're the executive director of West Coast Mental Health Network now. Can you say a bit about the general work of the network? What is it that you do as a group?
The unique thing about us is that we are a 100% peer-run organization. And that means that all of us, from the board of directors, the staff, volunteers, and our membership, all of us, have been diagnosed with mental illness in some form. So that's what makes us unique, being 100% peer-run. There's only a handful of organizations in Vancouver that are like that, where we have no hierarchy, no professionals, just all of us are mental health consumers and survivors. And what we provide, our services in a nutshell, are peer support groups. And we have 10 of them now. Each of them meets at least twice a month. And we have monthly educational workshops. We have 5 special events a year. And we also publish a quarterly magazine called The Networker. It used to be called The Bulletin. And that's completely written and produced and delivered entirely by mental health consumers and survivors. What we actually provide to the membership is a sense of community and belonging. and we provide opportunities for social interaction and learning and self-expression. In our peer support groups, we never allow professionals such as occupational therapists or recreational therapists to attend, not only because it would make members feel uncomfortable, but because when people are there at a peer support group, they're not there as patients or clients, but as peers. The atmosphere is of respect and equality and inclusion. And I think that that's a really important distinction, that people be there not as clients or patients, but as peers. So also, when people join the network, they're self-referred, so we never ask for a doctor's referral or for any details about their condition or their diagnosis. If they're a mental health consumer, it's just a yes or no question, then they're eligible to join, and membership is free.
You received some bad news on June the 4th, 2013. Tell us about that day.
Yes, we received a notice that the Vancouver Coastal Health, who is our major funder, they decided to terminate our contract effective on December 1st. So they did give us 6 months' notice, which we did appreciate. But we do feel that this decision is a very, very grave mistake and needs to be rectified immediately. So we are going to ask them to reconsider. And we're one of the very few peer-run organizations in Vancouver, and peer support is a very important part of recovery. It's been recognized by the Mental Health Commission as part of Canada's mental health strategy. We feel that our services, our organization is really necessary. So right now our greatest challenge is in figuring out how to survive as an organization, which could mean, you know, getting our funding back or finding alternative sources of funding. We don't intend to disappear. We've been around since 1991. We will continue to operate, even if it has to be at a very reduced capacity. Our members really rely on us, and we're very, very important for a sense of community and belonging. People need to have a voice about the mental health system, and that's just not something that can be created very easily, an organization that can give people those things. So we're going to fight hard to survive.
Why did the health authority cut your funding?
Well, the reason they gave us was there's an imperative to focus on core health services. So what they said, it was purely a budget and financial decision, that it had no bearing on the quality of our programming or on the our worth as an organization. We know that other organizations have been cut. They didn't tell us, but, you know, sort of with their rumors about other organizations being cut, so it was not just us. What we've heard was that just there was something about the union negotiating increased hours for their staff, and that money had to come out of this year's budget. And we've also heard rumors regarding they needed to purchase a new computer system. So apparently their decision was to take that funding out of organizations like ours. Again, as I said, we feel that that decision was a mistake, that our organization provides a very, very critical role and service, and it can't be duplicated. Not much information has been shared with us regarding the whys and all that. They just said that it was a financial decision.
What impact will this have on your membership?
Well, without funding, obviously, we cannot operate. We have been getting some money from the Gaming Commission to operate our magazine. Without the Vancouver Coastal Health funding, we're not able to pay for an office or, you know, for my salary or for any of our operations. If we're not able to restore our funding, we basically would be at square one of just, you know, finding a way to continue to exist. It's a very devastating effect. But as I said, we've been around since 1991, so we would probably just consider, you know, like about how to continue operating depending on what resources we still have.
So, Adrian, what are the next steps for the organization?
We will be appealing the decision, asking them to reconsider. We are garnering support from other organizations. We are asking our membership to provide letters of support, actually give us some examples of ways that our organization has impacted their lives and their recovery, has benefited them. We have hired a fundraising consultant, someone who's been with our organization for quite a long time, and so we are exploring other sources of funding and applying for grants, going also for corporate donors. So, you know, we're exploring every avenue possible.
Adrian, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I think that people really need to be aware of the importance of peer support in recovery. Just from what, you know, our members are telling us, that right now, like the services that are available it seem only the sickest patients are able to get care. You know, like the, I don't know what the criteria is, but you know, like whatever the number of suicide attempts or. What we're hearing is that people who are not getting the care, who are not sick enough to be getting access to care, are kind of falling through the cracks. I think organizations like ours are an important part of recovery. Sorry, and also that mental health consumers and survivors deserve a voice. They need a way of being able to feel a sense of belonging and part of a community, and they need opportunities for social interaction. And if they have been traumatized by the mental health system and really don't want to go to an organization that maybe is an institutionalized or is part of the mental health system, then a peer-run organization is really vital for giving them the services that they need.
Adrian Fitch, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was Adrian Fitch of West Coast Mental Health Network. Vancouver Coastal Health has pulled the group's funding and funding from four other community-based mental health groups in the Vancouver area. The health authority's decision was reportedly based on an imperative to refocus on core health services. We're taking a closer look at those cutbacks today. Sandra Ewan McKay is a Vancouver-based author and artist. She's also been involved as a participant in the programs offered by the Art Studios, one of the groups that has lost funding from Vancouver Coastal Health. She joins us on the phone now.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Sandra.
Thank you.
You've had personal experience attending programs at the Art Studios. How did that help you? What was the experience like for you?
Yeah, so I joined the Art Studios about 10 years ago, and through them I rekindled my interest in art, and I started to sell art through their traveling art show. I also got involved in writing after being introduced to it at the studio, and out of that I started writing articles for the Bulletin put out by the West Coast Mental Health Network at the time, and also writing a memoir. And in my memoir, I write about the Art Studios and how art has been so therapeutic for me in my journey of recovery. So I feel the Art Studios really opened doors for me and put me on a road to recovery. And I think that goes for all the members there.
Now, the cut to the Art Studios funding came as a shock to the group and its participants. There wasn't really any warning that this was coming. Tell us about the reaction, how the loss of this program will affect everyday people.
It was really hard to hear, you know, when we went in and heard that the studio was closing. People were really upset. They were crying. They were angry. They were asking questions. Why is this happening to our place? You know, because, you know, the members find a real sense of belonging there, and, you know, it's a real community for them. So they didn't want to lose that. And, you know, they really were outraged, and they really wanted to do something about it. And, you know, for the average person who's isolated, living at home, the Art Studio is really a godsend. It's their lifeline because they don't have contacts in outside of their home or outside of their family or things like that. So it was really a blow to them when they heard the news.
Now, if someone is listening to this broadcast and has never heard of the Art Studios, can you give us a brief overview of what the Art Studios is and what it does and who works there?
Yeah, so the Art Studios is run by a group of occupational therapists through Vancouver Coastal Health. There are also two rehab assistants there who are mental health consumers as well. And they service people with mental health issues or addictions in the Vancouver area. They offer art classes, pottery, painting, printmaking, drawing and watercolor, acrylics, and things like that. And they also offer workshops. So most of the classes are taught, like 99% by mental health consumers who have become members and moved up to being instructors. We also have outreach, so we have two sales a year. Our bigger sale is the winter sale, and that happens usually in November or December. And we have a silent auction and raise money for supplies and workshops.
If the doors have to close, they close at the beginning of August, August the 7th, 2013.
Yes.
You, You wrote in a letter to the Vancouver Sun the following. You wrote a full letter, but I just want to quote a couple of sentences. The cost of frontline services and acute care is more per capita than the cost of preventive treatment, which includes art, activities, and social programs. The decision is short-sighted. It's going to cost the government more in the long run. Sandra, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, having services like the Art Studios or, you know, the BCSS or MDA, I mean, they help a lot of people in the community, not just people that are ill, but also caregivers and family members who are affected by mental illness in their family or in their with their friend. And I think, you know, it was quoted to me that it costs $600 a day for a person to be in a psychiatric ward versus $7 a month for a member to be at the Art Studios. So, you know, it really does, if you do the math, it doesn't really make sense to close programs in the community because they are really, for people that can't access services, maybe they don't have, they don't have a mental health team or they don't have a psychiatrist. You know, it's really important to have places out there where people can go.
Now, I received a press release by email yesterday, and it's called Fighting for Our Medicine. I'm going to quote from that. The Art Studios is a safe and respectful place where people with a mental health diagnosis recover and grow. After 21 successful years, Vancouver Coastal Health is closing our doors. We are no longer considered an essential service. The Art Studios is our medicine. We're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for the Art Studios. And that is a statement by Colleen McNeil, Save the Art Studios leader. Sandra, I'm wondering if you could tell us what happens next. Tell us what is going on in terms of a response from the membership of the Art Studios to this funding announcement.
Yeah, so when we heard the news, you know, we were really figuring, you know, what are we going to do? Right, what are we going to do? So we started to form petitions and getting signatures, getting letters from our doctors telling us that to tell the government that the Art Studios does keep us well. It keeps us out of hospital. It keeps us functioning at a better level. We're organizing a rally, so that's going to happen with other organizations outside the Vancouver Art Gallery on Friday at noon. We had a fundraiser on Tuesday, and so we're really appealing to the public for support and trying to get the word out that, you know, this is really important piece of our community, and we don't want to lose it.
Sandra, Ewan McKay, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Sandra Ewan McKay is an artist and author who lives and works in Vancouver. You can find her online at symckay.blogspot.com. Kevin, what has Vancouver Coastal Health been saying about this?
I spoke with Anne Marie D'Angelo. She's the Senior Media Relations Officer at Vancouver Coastal Health. And Anne-Marie says that the health authority's own funding is not keeping up with increasing costs on a year-by-year basis, and that the cuts to these mental health programs are part of an ongoing review to find efficiencies in their budgets and expenditures. The idea is that the money that's available will go to areas, as she put it, of greatest need.
What is the greatest need at this moment?
Well, it seems that the assertive community treatment teams in Vancouver, they're called ACT teams for short, are, in Ms. D'Angelo's words, very, very expensive to operate. Now, these are specialized teams of mental health professionals that operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and provide services to people with serious mental illnesses that are complex and who have very significant functional impairments. Now, the health authority says they've seen dramatic changes in the clients of its ACT teams and significant savings in terms of the costs associated with first responders. Ms. D'Angelo told me by email, Ashta, that, and I'm quoting from her email, "We are focusing our mental health resources on evidence-based interventions that only the health authority can provide, including various levels of crisis service. We now have 3 assertive community treatment teams that didn't exist 18 months ago. ACT team clients are high users of acute hospital, criminal justice, policing services, and other first responders due to mental illness."
And what about the defunded groups? And what happens next for them?
Well, there's going to be a rally, as Sandra Ewan McKay mentioned, on Friday, July the 5th at noon in front of the Vancouver Art Gallery. And this will be to protest the mental health cuts. I heard also from Adrian Fitch that members of West Coast Mental Health Network will be in attendance at this rally. The art studios will have a petition that people can sign there. And that petition is also online at theartstudiosvancouver.ca. There are a couple of other online petitions underway as well. You can find those at change.org and avaz.org, avaz.org. Ashton, I'll post the links online at the People First Radio webpages. And of course, just Google People First Radio to find us online.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.